Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. We're not taking live calls. However, we invite you to stay with us and enjoy the broadcast. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hey, very happy Labor Day Monday to you. Thanks for joining us on this Labor Day, and welcome again to Catholic Answers Live. Today, it is a very special Labor Day issue for you. Our second hour, Mark Brumley will be here to discuss the Catholic Church's relationship with the labor movement and the Catholic social teaching more generally. But Labor Day is not just a celebration of labor. It also marks the back-to-class week for college students all around the country, and we dedicate this hour to the difficult task of communicating and maintaining Catholic identity in higher education. Whether it's an individual student or professor or institutions such as colleges and universities, keeping the faith in the halls of academia is an ever-present challenge. And our guest this hour lives in the trenches of this battle. Patrick Riley is a widely respected commentator on Catholic education. He's the president and founder of the Cardinal Newman Society, which promotes and defends Catholic education, and it's the largest Catholic organization focused on preserving and protecting Catholic identity in Catholic education. Patrick Riley, thank you for joining us this Labor Day.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm such a huge fan of Catholic Answers and just great thrilled to be with you. Thank you.
Well, we're huge fans of Catholic education and the Cardinal Newman Society, and I guess we'll start right at the nub there. What does that mean, Catholic identity of Catholic education? What are we talking about when we're talking about Catholic identity?
Yeah, well, it's a vague term, and in fact, you know, in some ways, it doesn't necessarily capture everything. And when we talk about Catholic identity, we're talking about fidelity, we're talking about culture, we're talking about avoidance of sin and scandal. It's a term very similar to the Catholic identity of an individual. You know, our Catholic institutions need to be Catholic in everything that they do. They need to be intentional about it, and they need to be faithful and closely tied to the church. And without that, they lose their way. They become in various respects less Catholic.
You're not suggesting that there might be a problem here, are you? No, I'm just kidding.
Yes. Well, that's certainly the Cardinal Newman Society began with a concern that there is a problem in Catholic education. Right. We started with higher education, and now we work all through all levels. In a very real sense, Catholic identity is always a problem, right? I mean, we're always struggling to do justice to God, to serve Him in the way that we ought to, and every institution can always improve in Catholic identity, but there are certain cases where there are institutions where you really have to question whether much of that Catholic identity remains.
Well, in the wider culture, there's been a clearly well-documented and well-known kind of loss of the Catholic identity in the sense of a full acceptance of the full teaching of the gospel and of the church down through the ages. It is kind of replaced with a sentimental kind of religion, a religion that's much more accommodated to, say, for example, the sexual revolution. It's in that wider culture that this loss of Catholic identity at universities and colleges has happened.
That's very true. You know, this summer we're celebrating we're marking the 50th anniversary of the Land O'Lakes Statement, which was sort of a watershed moment for Catholic educators declaring a certain academic independence from the hierarchy of the church. And following that, we saw, you know, a whole host of problems in secularization in Catholic education. And a lot of that grew out of the angst of the 1960s and 1970s and the general secularization and rebellion against authority. But on the other hand, I think sometimes that's overemphasized as if what has happened to Catholic schools was just a natural progression or regression following what's happening in our culture. And that's not entirely true either. A lot of what has happened in the church happened because of the dissent and the deliberate actions of individuals, particularly in our Catholic universities, including, you know, beginning with the dissent to Humanae Vitae. A lot of that grew out of the dissent happening within our Catholic universities. So right. You can see it's a result of secularization, but it's also a cause.
And so when you mention Humanae Vitae, then so the 1960s, we have this kind of massive revolution in human history, this sexual revolution. Humanae Vitae is a response, a Catholic response to that. And so people chose sides, I suppose. Did they want to go with Pope Paul VI and the Catholic traditional teachings, or did they want a world of new things? Mm-hmm. And it does seem that in Catholic universities, I don't want to say a great majority, but it certainly seems like a notable number of universities, both institutionally and then on the level of individual professors, chose the side of sexual revolution.
That's right. And this is something that was developing for a long time. You know, we look back and it was really the late 1960s, early 70s, when most Catholic universities separated legally from their founding religious orders or dioceses, became entirely independent, and a lot of problems were ushered in after that. But, you know, if you read back to some of the biographies of Fulton Sheen, Archbishop Fulton Sheen, who in his early years was a professor for a long time at Catholic University of America, you see, he was fighting these battles in the 1930s when you had Catholic academics who were insisting that we needed to go the way of the Ivy League schools, which, you know, as many people today don't even realize, were divinity schools, were right. very Christian institutions that shed their identity. And there was an effort going back, you know, to the early 20th century to follow that direction. And so this is something that was in a long time in the works when Humanae Vitae came along, and it was, again, sort of a watershed moment for Catholic academia.
So if we come to today, and a student going to a Catholic college or university anywhere in the United States, starting this week maybe, could you give any – maybe this is a – I don't mean this to be a flippant question, but could you give a kind of – percentage chance that student is going to sit in classrooms and be in communities that are fully Catholic this year in their Catholic university?
Well, there's certainly a higher possibility that they would find some good classes, especially in the freshman year, even at some of the wayward universities. So, you know, maybe give it a might be generous here. Maybe give it a 30%, 25% chance that they'll get some really good classes in their freshman year. You know, the general atmosphere of the institutions,
right.
You know, we recommend about 10% of the Catholic colleges in the U.S. Out of about 200 Catholic colleges and universities that we think have a very clear and consistent, strong Catholic identity. And those are small schools generally. And so, you know, when you take that 10%, you're boiling it down to less than 5% of students who are going to institutions where the parents can be quite confident that those students will get a strong, faithful Catholic education.
Is the situation irredeemable? I guess I imagine you'll say no, because you wouldn't be in this work if you thought so. But it's
not at all.
Okay.
You know, I think we've all heard of Franciscan University of Steubenville, right? I mean, today
right.
that's a model of faithful Catholic education. Well, a lot of people today don't realize that in the 1970s, Father Michael Scanlon turned that institution completely around. I mean, it was a highly secularized institution, a party school, not very good academically. And he came in and turned the place around. Catholic University of America was, up until just a couple decades ago, a center of dissent, theological dissent, in Catholic higher education. And, you know, that Bishop David O'Connell, formerly Father David O'Connell, when he was at Catholic U, came in and turned it around. And now John Garvey is doing an outstanding job there. And so, you know, it's very possible to turn these institutions around. I don't mean to suggest that it's easy, though.
Is it also possible that we may have to let go of some Catholic institutions, Catholic colleges and universities, and say, well, they've gone another path and the church needs to move on and look elsewhere for education?
Yes, absolutely. I believe it was in Veritatis Splendor that Pope St. John Paul II, called for, or maybe it was Fides et Ratio. It was one of those two where he specifically called on the bishops to, you know, when it becomes clear that an institution is no longer Catholic, we need to make the tough decision to declare it no longer Catholic. We're aware of at least, I believe it's 5 Catholic universities since 1990, when the Apostolic Constitution Ex Corde Ecclesiae was issued, that have declared themselves no longer Catholic. The details on to what extent the bishops were involved with that are murky, because that's all, you know, those are all private discussions. But we have seen that start to happen at some institutions. And really, where it's happening, though, more often and will over the next couple of decades, is in the marketplace, because these highly secularized, smaller, especially the local Catholic colleges, they just don't have a base of support anymore without having that distinctive identity. And it's getting awfully difficult to run any sort of private college or university with the competition of these growing large public universities. And so I don't think many of those institutions are going to survive.
Patrick Riley, president and founder of the Cardinal Newman Society, is our guest. The Cardinal Newman Society may be best known for its Newman Guide. We'll talk about that and more about the state of Catholic education in the United States when we come back after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is that now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking resource by apologist Trent Horn. That one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. And at $3 a copy when purchased in bulk, it's perfect for parish distribution and any of your adult faith formation needs. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Pope Francis said, "The key that opens the door to faith is prayer." Join St. Paul Street Evangelization by running a prayer station in the public square. You don't need to be a professional apologist or theologian. Just listen to the needs of the people you encounter. Offer encouragement, take prayer requests, and pray with people. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Luke 4:16, in his native synagogue, Jesus read aloud the scripture passage, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor." He then acknowledged that the passage was about him. At first they were amazed, but then became skeptical. He told them that no prophet was ever welcome in his native place. Highly insulted, the people tried to throw him down a cliff, but he escaped. Have you ever reflected that one is never humbly insulted? Have we ever seen people fight out of righteous humility? It was humility that drove him to such resentment. I think you catch my drift. It was their pride that kept those people from recognizing who Jesus was. The same can happen to us. I like the bumper sticker I saw one day. It read, "Too blessed to be oppressed." Isn't that the truth? I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
We're not taking live calls. However, we invite you to stay with us and enjoy the broadcast. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to our very special Labor Day edition of Catholic Answers Live. Hope you are enjoying a relaxed and peaceful Labor Day. And so happy to have you here with us. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and our guest this hour is Patrick Riley, the president and founder of the Cardinal Newman Society, which promotes and defends Catholic faith in Catholic education. We were talking a bit before the break about Catholic identity, but I wanted to ask you, the Newman Guide is what you're probably most famous for, maybe some would say notorious for. I don't know. Can you tell us about the Newman Guide, what it is and how it came about?
Sure. It actually came about by the suggestion of the late Father Benedict Rochelle, who, you know, strongly encouraged us. You know, at that time, we had been talking a lot about the problems in Catholic education and a lot of the scandals. And, you know, he strongly encouraged us to help Catholic families find good Catholic education where it exists. And so we got into this Newman Guide. The original plan was actually to publish a guide to all 200 or so Catholic colleges and universities in the United States. We realized that, at least from our perspective, that would have been somewhat depressing on the one hand. And secondly, you know, most Catholic families, they want a college guide because they want to find a college to send their son or daughter to that school. And so we decided we're just going to focus on the ones that we can strongly recommend. And that has been that was a great decision that we sort of fell into. And the Newman Guide has had so much more impact than, frankly, I ever envisioned that it would. And we're thrilled. You know, we just hear from a lot of families that will basically say, look, you know, we'll pay for your education, but you know, you need to go to one of these institutions because we need to know that when you get a college education, it's so much more than career preparation, although that's certainly an important element.
It's extraordinary the young people that come out of some of these universities. Here we have just not too far from us several of – I don't know where they are in your guide, but I'll just mention Thomas Aquinas College here on the West mm-hmm. Coast. And when we get graduates of that in our apostolate here at Catholic Answers, they're very, very well prepared in their faith. And you get a kind of sense – and they're very happy people too. That's something else. They just come with a kind of brightness and happiness. You get a sense that Catholic education can be done and it can be very powerful.
Yeah, and it's not just Catholic education, it's Catholic culture. You know, on these campuses, there is a real Catholic culture, and some sort of shy away and think, well, you know, I'm not wanting to go to a seminary or to a convent. And that's not what this is. This is Catholic education. You have a full, vibrant campus life with all the sorts of activities that are wholesome, but also a lot of fun. For the students and enjoyable and productive at the same time. And it in our general culture today that's so highly secularized and the lack of very strong parish life, you know, very often for these students, the 4 years that they might spend on the campus of one of these faithful Catholic colleges may be the only 4 years in their life that they actually live within a Catholic culture that's really seriously Catholic and Christian in every sense of the word. But it does give them a vision that they bring back. And that's what's so exciting, as you said. You know, the proof of the pudding with these schools is the graduates and what they go on to do and the impact that they're having in the church.
Do you ever get colleges that are kind of on the cusp? You really want to recommend them, they're doing, but there's just you just can't give the full throated endorsement. And if somebody is sort of in that position, do you ever call up that university or college and say, "We want to, but here's the problem we're having"?
Yes, more and more. In fact, we have them coming to us saying they want to be in the guide, which right away is something that endears them to us. That any institution that wants to follow the model of these other institutions is one that we're quite happy to be working with. And there are a number of institutions that we've been talking to. I probably don't want to say their names, but you know, there are plenty of Catholic colleges out there. It's a real spectrum. There are some that have no intention of really having a strong Catholic identity, but a lot of them that do want to have that. The bishops have been pushing for it. And again, like I said, I think there are practical realities that they realize that promoting their particular charism actually has a marketing value these days. And so more and more institutions are looking to do it, and we work with them to help them make that happen.
So what are the marks of a college or university that would be, in the estimation of the Cardinal Newman Society, a fully Catholic place, a place where you would be confident recommending this place?
So we look at everything top to bottom, because we believe that everything does have a real impact on the experience of the student, and just academics is not, you know, I mean, students are influenced by a lot more than just what happens in the classroom. Certainly we start with that. That's extremely important. Not only must the education in a Catholic college university be faithful, that's a minimum expectation, but it needs to be, you know, it doesn't matter what you're studying, whether it's nursing or mathematics or science or history, it all ought to be taught and understood in the context of our Catholic faith. The world needs to be appreciated in terms of our Catholic faith. And so, you know, even mathematics, you know, might seem like, well, this is a, you know, anyone can study mathematics at a secular institution and it's not going to be any different than a Catholic school. It shouldn't be that way. It should be, you know, you're learning about math with an appreciation for the order of the world and an understanding that, that what math truly is our recognition of how the world that God created works. And we didn't create math. Math is just a part of the natural order, and it's magnificent when you think about it, you know, the splendor of how the world works according to these mathematical rules. So, you know, in any realm of education, that's important. But then outside the classroom, you know, clearly the campus life, the social life, the dorm life, the efforts to try to ensure and promote chastity on the campuses, and an appreciation for the truth of gender and sexuality and all the things that the church is challenged on by our culture today. You know, it needs to be a campus that fully appreciates the truth and upholds it.
So what's the difference then between putting what would you say is the difference between putting a student in an environment like that, an environment where there's a fully robust Catholic life outside of the classroom and where within the classroom a Catholic sense of awe and wonder and openness to God permeates? What's the difference between that experience and, say, what I think the critics will say is, well, you're asking for to indoctrinate students. You want to put them in a place where they're being indoctrinated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I understand that perspective when you decide to reject truth in this sense, the, you know, revealed truth. You have a very limited perspective on the world and on what's appropriate and what's not, and so you're going to look at religion as indoctrination and as some effort to promote hocus pocus or something else, and that's not good at an academic institution. So that's how most of academia looks at it. But for Catholic families that go to these institutions, for the students that go there, it's total freedom. It's interesting how it's exactly the opposite of how the secularist would expect the experience to be, because it's just this breath of fresh air that I can live according to the truth. I can be with other people who live according to the truth. I can explore, whether it's literature or science or history or anything else, I can explore this in the context of truth and talk about it and appreciate it and understand it so much better, because I'm exploring it in the context of reality and the fact that you know, the human person has a purpose and has an end that God has directed us to. And when that's all part of the education and when that's all part of the culture on the campus, it's a total freedom. And that's why, you know, I went to a university that was very restricted, that had pulled back heavily, and that freedom was just not there, and the happiness was not there.
Patrick Riley is our guest this hour. We're talking about the Cardinal Newman Society, its role in promoting and defending Catholic higher education, and about the general condition of Catholic higher education as we prepare to send students back to school this week. We'll be right back with more on Catholic Answers Live.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The blood of Jesus shed on the cross healed all our wounds. A lot of people say, well, I can do what I want. I can commit any sin. Jesus saved me. You can't be presumptuous. All holy God cannot allow you to sin or give you the right to sin by dying for you. That doesn't make any sense.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
This is Tim Staples, and I'm here to tell you about a new resource so good it deserves a place in the library of every Catholic who is serious about his or her faith. Did you ever read something in the Bible that made you just scratch your head? Have you ever been challenged to defend a seemingly scandalous verse of Scripture? You're not alone. The Bible contains more than a few hard sayings, apparent contradictions, myth-like events and figures, and passages that seem to be embarrassingly out of step with modern culture or science. How can you, as a Catholic, reconcile such things with your own faith and with what the Church teaches about the inspiration and inerrancy of sacred Scripture? Don't worry. As my good friend and brother in the faith, Trent Horn, explains in his new book, Hard Sayings, A Catholic Approach to Answering Bible Difficulties, God's revelation in the Bible is not something Catholics need to be ashamed of. In Hard Sayings, the first book of its kind, Trent examines dozens of the most confounding passages in Scripture and offers clear, reasonable, and Catholic explanations to unlock their true meaning. He also provides basic principles for reading and interpreting Scripture that the wisdom of the Church has developed over the centuries. Order your copy of Hard Sayings today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to our very special Labor Day edition of Catholic Answers Live. We're not able to take calls today because we're taking the day off, and we hope you're getting some time off as well today. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Next hour, we are joined by Mark Brumley, President and CEO of Ignatius Press. He's going to be here to talk about Catholic social teaching this Labor Day and talk a bit about the Catholic relationship to the labor movement here in the United States. I think you'll really enjoy that conversation. This hour, Patrick Riley, President and founder of the Cardinal Newman Society, with us because we're talking Catholic education. Students are going back to school this week, and it's a good time to take a moment to assess the landscape in Catholic education. The Cardinal Newman Society promotes and defends faithful Catholic education. We spoke, Patrick, just before the break, a little bit about the guide, the Newman Guide to for Catholic colleges and universities. And where can people get that?
So we publish the entire thing online. We do have hard copies that they can order from our website, but it's all at our website, cardinalnewmansociety.org. And there's a companion publication to that also that we call My Future, My Faith, that has a number of articles that are helpful to families working through that process of choosing colleges and preparing to go off to college. So I also recommend that.
And there does seem you said all of these colleges are small colleges. Is there any sense, or do you have any sense of the possibility that some of maybe our legacy Catholic universities, some of which are very large universities, some of which are all different sizes, that they may be evangelized a bit, or maybe even currently are being evangelized a bit by these small Catholic colleges and universities that are really trying to live out that Catholic identity, that Catholic faith?
Sure. Well, and just to clarify quickly, they tend to fall on the smaller end, but there are institutions like Catholic University, which has a pretty strong graduate and research function. University of St. Thomas, Walsh University. So there are some somewhat larger institutions in there. I do think, you know, University of Notre Dame, take for example, one of the flagship universities for the Church. There are some great, great things going on there, and I do think that students can still go there and get a very strong Catholic education, but they have to be very careful in choosing the professors and choosing their activities, and avoiding some of the trends that you might see in the campus life or in some of their other classrooms, and so. It's just difficult. So it's not one of the institutions that we have in our guide. but I do think that's an institution that could become very strongly Catholic if it had the leadership that was willing to do it. Unfortunately, I think there's been something of a leadership problem there, starting with the trustees. But you know, the truth is that a lot of the larger Catholic universities that are well known, they're pretty secular places, and you'll find pockets of good things happening. But what concerns me most about those institutions is the campus life and the dorm life,
right,
which you know, they've just decided that they will no longer focus on human formation. Which means providing a living atmosphere that's appropriate for Catholic families.
Again, I just think the best advertisement for some of these fully and joyfully Catholic places is the graduates. They're such extraordinary people coming out of them.
Yes.
I think you want to ask why did some of these major institutions not want their students or are not convinced that their students can be that happy and that well-rounded and that grounded in their faith? Or what do you see as the obstacles? What's the resistance? Where does the resistance come from?
You know, I think it's a secularization in our hearts as well as our minds, and I think we see that a lot at these larger universities. There's this sense that, you know, that kind of what we were talking about earlier, the secular view of Catholic education. I think a lot of our professors, unfortunately, at even large Catholic universities share that view, that promoting or advancing a Catholic perspective on things is somehow limiting and restrictive and proselytizing, when in fact it's freeing and inviting students to explore all truth. You know, John Henry Newman, Blessed John Henry Newman, our patron, actually made the argument that because a university is supposed to be dedicated to all branches of truth, that a Catholic university is the only real Catholic, the real university, because it's the only institution that doesn't withhold that truth of the Catholic faith, which is fundamental to everything else that we study. And so it's kind of an interesting argument, but of course, if you're living with the worldly mindset that we have today, you're not going to see that. You're going to see it in a much different way.
Are you involved in education at lower levels, Catholic education at lower levels, kindergarten through 12, that age group? And if you are, what are you doing at those levels?
Yes, you know, for most, we're going into our 25th anniversary year, but for most of our history, we're focused on higher education. Especially over the last 5 years, we have turned very heavily into K-12 education. You know, you don't see the kind of scandalous type of thing that you see, usually anyways, at the Catholic colleges and universities that have secularized. But, you know, there is a real concern that the bishops have voiced and the Vatican has voiced about strengthening Catholic identity in our schools. I believe that fundamentally, there are many reasons why our Catholic schools are declining, and we've lost 2/3 of our Catholic schools over the last 50 years, and it's not stopping.
Yeah.
And there are reasons for that, but I believe fundamentally that it's an issue of faith. It's a crisis of faith, and it's a lack of appreciation for Catholic education fundamentally, not just Catholic schools in terms of our parochial schools, which I think sometimes we tend to have a corporate mindset about our Catholic schools, but it's a lack of appreciation for Catholic education, meaning the complete formation of the human person to serve and love God and to know God.
Yeah.
And that we're just not doing. And whether you can do that if your kid goes to a public school and you make an extraordinary effort outside of school to provide that kind of education. You can do that in homeschooling, which has grown tremendously and I think has provided a lot of hope for Catholic education and a lot of innovation. And you can do that in our parochial schools. You can do that in the independent Catholic schools. we do it in a lot of different ways, but we need a renewed commitment to Catholic education, meaning the formation of our young people in the Catholic faith.
And I suppose, again, if people would be convinced that that really does lead to human flourishing and happiness and joy and all those things, they would be more willing. We have a marketing problem or something. Go, oh, that sounds kind of dour, you know, that old Catholic thing. And but when people actually experience it, I wonder if that's a kind of a cycle of decline, though, in that having not experienced it, people don't. Believe in it, and then not believing in it, they're not able to do it.
Exactly right. That's in fact that's why we pushed into K-12 education. We realized as we were trying to promote these good faithful Catholic colleges, a very small percentage of Catholic families today or Catholic parents, adults, have had a good strong experience of Catholic education, and that's declining. And so it makes it all the more difficult to say, well, all right, time for preparing for career. Now go to a Catholic school. A lot of Catholic families, good Catholic families, just don't understand the reason for that. And especially when it means you have to shell out money rather than go to the much less expensive public university. And so, we need to focus on that mindset, especially in the K-12 level. At the same time that's happening generally in church, though, like you said, there is this core of Catholics who are coming out of these good, faithful colleges. There are a lot of great, wonderful things happening in many schools at the K-12 level, and those people really appreciate Catholic education.
Yeah.
And I'm very hopeful that we will see a renaissance building from those graduates.
But you don't foresee a kind of Newman guide for Catholic high schools or elementary schools, or do you foresee that?
Well, we have a program called the Catholic Education Honor Roll. This was actually started by the Acton Institute, and they handed it off to us because it was a little bit more aligned with our mission. And that's, we recognize the strongest Catholic high schools in the United States based on their Catholic identity. And in the next year or so, we're looking to grow that and focus on Catholic elementary schools as well. And we're trying to find ways, it's really geared toward brick and mortar schools, but we're trying to find ways to utilize the standards and to promote those within Catholic homeschooling as well. And so the idea is to renew this understanding of what Catholic education is all about, and to renew a love and an appreciation for Catholic education as something far more than doing a better job of getting into college or getting a good job.
Right. Right. A higher horizon. Our horizon is very, when it becomes worldly, you just can't do Catholic education.
Right. But, and I need to make this clear, because people then suspect that going to a Catholic school or college means that you're ignoring worldly concerns. And the fact is, you know, there are practical realities. People need a job, especially if you're going on to have a nice big Catholic family. And so these schools and colleges need to provide and continue to provide that very strong education and preparation for careers, and they do that, I think, very, very well. And the proof is in the graduates again.
Patrick Riley, our guest, Catholic Education, our topic this hour as we celebrate Labor Day here in the United States. We'll be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live. What are miracles, and why does God work them? How can I believe in miracles if I've never experienced one? Aren't miracles just something pre-scientific people made up to explain what they couldn't understand? 20 Answers Miracles unpacks the nature of miracles, their appearances in Scripture and history, how the Church evaluates them, and ways to answer doubters who say they're mere superstition. 20 Answers Miracles is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com today and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
Are you coming to the Catholic Answers Conference this September?
You guys put on a great show, so it's well worth coming.
Very powerful, very motivational and moving.
I think it's awesome. It's been really amazing to get to know people from all across the country.
Every time somebody's speaker finishes, I feel like I want to cry just because of how happy I am.
It's been pretty phenomenal. Very educational, enlightening.
This year's conference is September 28th through the 30th here in beautiful San Diego, and we want to see you there. Seats are still available, but act now because they are going fast. Call us today at 1-888-291-8000 or visit CatholicAnswersConference.com now and reserve your spot.
This is where it starts, and it definitely has started for me.
Face it, it's tempting and easy to be a man of the world. Father Terence Ehrman has a challenge for you. Be a man of God instead. In his new book, Man of God, Father Ehrman draws on his experience counseling men who are struggling to live in the world but not be of the world. In a unique, easy-to-read format, he offers holy spiritual direction for all men who want to master themselves and be transformed from within. Order your copy of Man of God today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
We're not taking live calls. However, we invite you to stay with us and enjoy the broadcast. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Well, that's a hopeful time with everybody heading back to school. I noticed that a lot of people head back to school mid-August now. I am not in favor of that personally. I'm not an expert or anything, but I do believe that America is based on the idea that school starts after Labor Day. That's the basic fundamental idea of America. I could be wrong about that, but that's the basic idea I go on. But as we all head back to school or maybe head into our third or fourth week of school, it's a good time to consider the state of Catholic education and what happens to students in both Catholic schools and secular schools, what happens to their Catholic faith. We're joined this hour by Patrick Riley, the president and founder of the Cardinal Newman Society. And you've got a journal coming out, Patrick, I think in the next couple of weeks. Is that true?
That's right. Yeah. We've been trying to there are so many opportunities today to talk about Catholic education at a deeper level and to really get into how do we improve our Catholic schools and how do we talk about, you know, all the different aspects of Catholic education. And so Joseph Pierce, who you may be familiar with. I know you are at Catholic Answers.
Oh, yeah.
Just an outstanding academic. He's had an interesting life in Rhode and just brings so much to this. He is going to be editing the journal. It's an online journal. We call it a journal because it's more than a blog. This isn't just random thoughts. This is, some pretty serious work that we'll have. We got Anthony Esselin, who just recently left Providence College to go up to one of our Newman Guide colleges, Thomas More College in New Hampshire, and he will be writing for us. Michael Van Hecke, who's an outstanding Catholic educator, classical Catholic educator out in California, and a number of others who will be joining on, and Dale Alquist with the with the Chesterton Schools will be coming on and writing for us. And we've opened it up to anyone else is able to submit anything. And so just hoping to promote a very broad and deep discussion about how to move Catholic education forward.
And who is do you see your audience as people who are involved in Catholic education as educators or administrators? Is it for parents, students, or is it just for the wider Catholic community to reflect on education?
Yeah, it's for everybody. Certainly, as I said, the writing will be pretty serious in trying to move things forward, and these are serious thinkers. But we've asked them all to write in such a way that that anyone who's interested in Catholic education would enjoy and be benefit from reading the journal.
And so is this part of a broader move for you to be – my sense is you have always been kind of a watchdog. Keep an eye on these Catholic universities. Are you moving more into other roles?
Yeah, I would say what we're doing is expanding. And, okay. and certainly the vast majority of what we do today is in helping build strong, faithful Catholic education, moving things forward. We haven't really entirely lost the watchdog role. I mean, we still watch what's going on and report it. But we're more focused on pushing the conversation forward. And there are so many out there, even in these institutions where you know we might not recommend the college as a whole. There are a lot of good people who are moving up in those institutions, and it's a very exciting time. And so we're capturing that and trying to move things forward. And so, yeah, we're looking at ourselves more in a think tank type of model, but it's an edgy think tank. It's one that we have a strong advocacy position. We're not going to hold back in pushing for a very strong, faithful Catholic education and insisting on it for Catholic families.
Yeah, I don't really think of the Cardinal Newman Society as holding back. That hasn't really been one of the hallmarks of your work.
No.
So that role, though, you must have people who don't like you, who are annoyed. Are you satisfied that you have all the right enemies, or are there people that you wish would be more interlocutors with you rather than opponents?
Well, we're always open to the conversation and always have been. But, you know, for people who don't like to be criticized and I don't like to be criticized myself, you know, that's always difficult. And so especially when you're the leader of an institution and your focus is on building it and recruiting students and recruiting donors
right.
and such. You know, I get that. So they don't like to have anything negative said. But this is sort of the give and take of academia, right? I mean, this is how things are supposed to move forward, and this is how ideas move forward. And so we're going to keep pushing what the church has always said Catholic education needs to be. And those who don't like that aren't going to really like us much either, and that's fine with me.
Well, when you say this is, you know, the what academia is supposed to be is this give and take and everything, I do think there's a great deal of worry, people my generation who have college-aged young people, because it seems that even far beyond just the 200 Catholic universities in the United States, there is a crisis in higher education about, is it really about the search for truth? Is it really about dialogue? Or is it about a kind of demand that people think certain things about certain other things, that there's a stressing of getting the right thoughts rather than thinking and thinking together in the university? Any thoughts for parents who may be sending young people off into that environment?
I think we have to be honest about it. And I think the best thing to do is to just be very frank and go in with your eyes open and realize what you're going into. I mean, we all live in a very secular world, a very secular culture. So every young person, regardless of what education they have, needs to go out into that world with their eyes open and be aware of what the challenges are and to understand it. My difficulty is that a lot of young people going into these highly secular institutions aren't really prepared, aren't, even if they've had a good education up till then, you know, they don't have that adult perspective, and they're not necessarily prepared to challenge the thought that's pushed in the classroom, or to be strong enough to withstand the temptations and the general campus life that they see. And so, you know, parents need to be very vigilant and constantly talking to young people who go to these institutions, asking them to be very careful and to always remind them of what is the truth, and to realize that they may be in an atmosphere that doesn't respect the truth. And that's not an easy thing for Catholics to do, but that's the world we live in.
Well, a young person that I talked to recently about college, she referred to another young woman in the classroom as she, and then was scolded by this other student because that student didn't use those pronouns.
Right.
And this young woman apologized, said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that," and tried to go on, but was then interrupted by the professor of the class who gave a little discursus on how you should not ever assume what another person's pronouns are. I don't even know what to say about that. Do you?
Well, it's, you know, again, it's a complete lack of respect for the truth that's plain in front of your eyes, you know. And so, you know, what's happened is, you know, we all understand that dialogue and allowing people to voice opinions and to be able to discuss them rationally in a respectful context is a way for people to come to truth. Okay. But it's always with a mind toward truth. We're always trying to find it. And when we see it, we ought to appreciate it and embrace it. And the problem is that in the pursuit of so-called academic freedom and free dialogue and everything, these have become the ideals, and truth has been pushed to the background to the point where it's completely ignored. And so what's left? It in a completely free environment where truth is no longer important, the ideas that rise to the top that become controlling are those that are embraced by those who speak the loudest, who hold positions of authority, and it becomes a power game. And that's exactly what's happening in most of higher education. It's what's happening in our society generally, that we're moving very quickly toward a totalitarian society, and we certainly see totalitarianism in much of higher education. And it's at the very institutions that claim to embrace open dialogue and the free search of truth. It's very contradictory, but it's because they don't respect truth. Free search of truth is great as long as that's what you're aiming for.
But truth has a niche. And I do think maybe we could leave on a hopeful note here that if Catholic universities will be fully Catholic, that there's going to be both Catholics and non-Catholics attracted to that to the degree that other universities become, as you said, more totalitarian and disconnected from reality. Would you agree with that?
That's right. You know, we now have a growing number of Catholic K elementary and secondary schools and colleges that are firmly committed to the truth, and they are providing a bedrock upon which we can rebuild our society. I mean, I really believe that Catholic education is fundamental to the new evangelization, and it's fundamental to the rebirth of American society, God willing.
Patrick Riley, president of the Cardinal Newman Society, is our guest this hour. And I want to give out the address again. You just go to CardinalNewmanSociety.org, and you can get all the information that you might want to get about all the work that Patrick and the folks over there do. You can get the guide right there on the website. Just go to CardinalNewmanSociety.org. And Patrick, we'll also have to keep you in our prayers, but remember, pray for those young people who are going off into these college environments all over the country this week.
That's right. Please do.
Thanks so much for being with us, Patrick Riley. We really appreciate that you took the hour with us.
Thank you so much. It's been a wonderful discussion.
Coming up next on Catholic Answers Live, Mark Brumley will be here. We're going to talk Catholic social teaching on this Labor Day. How do Catholics fit into the labor movement, the historic labor movement here in the United States, and how are the two connected now? We'll get into all that with Mark and into a wider discussion of Catholic social teaching, including the role of the family, the role of the individual, and the role of mediating institutions in the society right after this on Catholic Answers Live.